Welcome to the August 12th edition of the Canadian Business Podcast. I'm Sarah Efron, Managing Editor at Canadian Business Magazine. Today on the podcast, Blood Diamonds Are Forever. A collapsed case against a Toronto gemologist, Donald Mackay, raises doubts about attempts to stop diamond smuggling. Canadian Business senior writer Matt McLaren is in the studio with me today. Thanks for joining me, Matt.
It's a pleasure.
So tell me about this case against the Toronto gemologist.
Well, it was a case that stemmed from some events that happened in early 2008. At the Toronto airport, Canada Border Services intercepted a package that was headed towards this gemologist, and it contained some statues inside that were being shipped from Malawi. And these, on further inspection, these statues contained rough diamonds. And so this was a violation of Canada's legislation that implements the Kimberley process, which is intended to stop the flow of so-called blood diamonds. And therefore, they set up a sting against the gemologist. And eventually, they did what was called controlled delivery, where they just deliver the stones to the gemologist and then wait to see whether he opens up the statues or not to show that he actually is aware that that this is what's inside them. And so that's what happened, and the case went to court last year and this year. It was a four-day trial that was split in half, really, between last summer and earlier this spring. The trial ultimately ended when it was found that the gemologist's charter rights had been violated by that search.
And why was that?
Well, as I understand, I mean, the judge basically concluded that given the circumstances that it was unreasonable for the RCMP to send in an emergency response team. These are guys in riot gear, basically, with submachine guns and what have you. And this was considered, I guess, an excessive use of force. So that was the end of the case. I mean, it's under appeal now, but it's hard to say what will happen in that regard.
So it's hard to say whether this is really a test of the laws around diamonds, because it never really – that wasn't the issue in court at the end of the day?
Well, it was the issue in court, but the trial never got around to considering or making any conclusions about those issues because of the charter issue, which superseded everything else in the judge's view.
And what was the gemologist's claim? What was his perspective about the events?
Well, his defense seemed to be that he was just receiving these gems on behalf of a client who'd asked him to give an opinion on the quality of the stones. As I understand it, his defense was, look, I mean, yes, I received these stones, and yes, I knew they were going to be shipped inside statues, but you know, I wasn't actually causing these to be shipped. They weren't my stones. You know, I was just an intermediary, and you know, the court never got around to deciding whether that was the case or whether the Crown's perspective was correct or if some third possibility was the case.
Okay, and are there implications here for the Kimberley process in general?
To me, this case just kind of shows how difficult it is to prosecute these sorts of cases. The RCMP actually thought they had a rock solid case, but it was up to the prosecutor, of course, to prove that. And this case fell apart on a charter issue even before it really got started.
And where is the Kimberley process at these days? How well has that been working?
Well, that really depends on who you ask. There's a great deal of debate right now about how effective the Kimberley process has been. Now, the trade in so-called blood diamonds, to begin with, will never have a great understanding of what's going on. It's not a classic underground economy. These people don't report to anybody about their activities. But we do believe that since the Kimberley process was implemented, there has been a decrease in the flow of so-called blood diamonds. So there's less trade, and we can probably at least partly attribute that to the Kimberley process. So that's a positive development. But there's a lot of the critics of the Kimberley process now believe that it's the process is not being tough enough on states that are engaging in activities that they view as trade in blood diamonds. So it's a big dispute right now.
And part of the difficulty is that in the way that blood diamonds are defined as having to be connected to war or conflict.
Right. Well, that's the situation that has developed in the case around Zimbabwe right now. So in Zimbabwe, there's a mining area called Morangi, which is described in the piece. And Morangi has never been controlled by rebels. There's been a number of violent incidents around this field, and really it's a clash between the government and the informal mining sector. Reports have been that many people have died in these conflicts, but rebel groups are not involved, and so these diamonds will never fit the Kimberley process definition of blood diamonds. And yet some people would say, well, that's in fact what they are, and this is sort of the very sort of situation that the Kimberley process should be addressing. And the Kimberley process had a great deal of difficulty for a variety of reasons in dealing with that situation.
Do you think there's any chance these rules could be toughened up to apply to situations like that?
Well, they could be, but that will entirely be something that will be negotiated or hammered out by the governments and the NGOs and the industry groups that are part of the Kimberley process. And that's a very difficult thing to do. The Kimberley process works on consensus, basically. And so if one group wants to dig in their heels, they can, and it can be very difficult to make any further progress on that.
Interesting stuff. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks.
To download and subscribe to this podcast, go to CanadianBusiness.com or visit the Apple iTunes store. Thanks for listening. I'm Sarah Efron for the Canadian Business Podcast.